Now the devil says, stay in bondage, stay in shackles, stay in chains. But Jesus sets us free so we can go. Go into what you could never have gone into before had I not set you free. But now that I have set you free, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You go.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God. Today on Life Talk, we're continuing the series, Resurrection of Lazarus, with a message we call The Ministry of Loosing. This is sure to be another thought-provoking study, so stay tuned. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us more.
What I love about today's message taken from the resurrection of Lazarus is the way it reveals the importance of God's people being involved in setting others free. When Lazarus emerged from the tomb where he had been dead for 4 days, he was resurrected but still bound. He was wrapped head to toe in grave clothes that hindered him in every way. He couldn't talk, he couldn't walk, he couldn't move his hands. The resurrected Lazarus still needed to be set free, and that's where God's people came in. I can't wait to share this with you, so let's jump right into today's message entitled, The Ministry of Loosing.
I want to talk to you about freedom of a different kind, because there are different kinds of freedom. There's freedom to come and go and do as you will. We have that in America. But there is also the freedom that gives you the power to do what you ought, gives you the power to live the way God's called you to live. There is freedom not just from an external enemy, but an invisible enemy, the devil. And something really, really bad that came on the human race long ago, and that is sin. And so I want to talk to you about that freedom and how Jesus has called us to be free. If you can say today, boy, I know for a fact Jesus came into my life, and when he did, I started getting free. Come on. Amen. But I want to talk to you about a particular aspect of that freedom, and that is the ministry of loosing. We've been on the story of Lazarus for a number of weeks now. This is the fourth and last week. And I've shared with you that the whole drama began to unfold with this truth. We're to have faith for today, not just faith for yesterday or for someday, but faith is for today. Now faith is. And then we looked at how we need to roll the stone away, as they had to roll a stone away from the tomb so that Jesus could get to the problem. We have to roll a stone of unbelief off of our own hearts, or a stone of unforgiveness, or whatever it is that's blocking us from God touching our problem. And then we talked about loose him. Jesus told the people that were there to loose him. Not, he was resurrected, but he wasn't free. He was resurrected, but he was still bound in grave clothes. He needed to be released. Now you do know this is spiritual truth. This is a physical picture of a spiritual reality. We are raised from the dead, but we also need to be set free from old grave clothes of thinking and doing. Right. Amen. But now, today, I want to talk to you about who he commanded to loose him. Because notice, Jesus said, loose him. We don't stop to think who he was talking to. He was talking to his followers. He was talking to the sisters. He was talking to the people that loved him. He was saying, I got him up from the dead, now you loose him. So let's look today, John 11, verse 44. Here's the story quickly in one verse. The dead man came out bound hand and foot with linen strips and with his face wrapped in a cloth. So he's bound in his hands, bound in his feet, bound over his mouth. He can't walk, he can't move, he can't talk. Jesus said to them, read it with me, everybody, loose him. And let him go. Father, thank you for this word. And I pray that as I give this word, that there will be a divine revelation come over this body. That, Lord, we will hear it, but really hear it. We will hear it. And it will change us on the inside. Lord, I pray, give us ears to hear and eyes to see. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. Amen. Loose him and let him go. Now, just a little bit of background here. A little bit of Greek, because this was written in Greek and this matters. When Jesus said, loose him and let him go, that phrase, let him go, is the same phrase Jesus used when they came to arrest him. And he looked at his disciples and he said, now, let them go. Let them go. As a matter of fact, he actually said, let them go their way. Let them go. You're after me, not them. So let them go their way. Now, if we were just to translate what Jesus said over Lazarus when he said, loose him and let him go, it would better read this way. Loose him and let him go his way. Loose him and let him go his way. Loose him and let him go the path that God has for him. Loose him so he can go the way God's called him to go. So he can go and do and be what God has called him to go and do and be. See, what God wants you and I to do, we're never going to do it unless we're loosed. We got to be loosed. Now, most everybody in here is a born-again Christian, but listen, we need to be loosed from those old grave clothes of doing and thinking the way that we used to think and act and behave ourselves and the way we used to live. We need to be loosed. Now, understand with me that freedom is progressive. Salvation is instant, but freedom is a process. Salvation is instant. When we say, Lord, come into my life, forgive me my sin, I repent, I believe on Jesus, right then and there, we are instantly saved. You don't have to wait 5 minutes, 10 minutes, a year. You're instantly saved. But freedom is a process. Freedom takes time. You know how much time? It takes a lifetime. How many of you can say truthfully, I'm freer today than I was 5 years ago? Can you give the Lord a hand of praise for that? Come on. I'm freer today. Now, why are you freer today? Because freedom is a process that takes time. When you go back to the Old Testament, which is always a physical picture of spiritual reality for those of us in the New Covenant, we look at how the children of Israel took the Promised Land. And I want you to notice they took the Promised Land not all at once, but they took it town by town, city by city, over a long period of time. And God said, why? God told them why. Let me tell you why I'm not giving you all the cities all at once. He said, because you could not handle the attacks of the wild beasts, because there would not be enough of you to fend the wild beasts off. So I need to wait for you to grow in your population, grow in your numbers, so that when I give you a town, there's enough of you to keep the wild beasts at bay. Now, it's the same thing with you and me. God says, I'm going to wait for you to grow. And when you grow to a certain level, then you're going to take another town and another city. And I'm going to make you freer here and freer there and freer over yonder. I'm going to give you your freedom incrementally, because if I gave it to you all at once, you couldn't handle it. So I'm going to give it to you bit by bit, day by day, faith to faith, glory to glory. I'm going to give you your freedom. And that's a powerful truth that we need to really think about. And so there's two things I notice in this story when it comes to Lazarus being set free. Notice that Jesus didn't need anybody to take his grave clothes off. When Jesus rose from the dead, it says when they went to look at where he had been lying, they saw his grave clothes neatly stacked in one place in the tomb. And then a few feet away, what had covered his face, the face napkin, was neatly folded and set there. And so Jesus needed no man to help him get free of the grave clothes, because he was the very Son of God. But Lazarus needed the help of others. Can I tell you again? Lazarus needed the help of others. He needed others to help him get free of the grave clothes that he came out of that tomb with. See, we come out of the tomb of our life of sin covered in grave clothes, thinking certain ways, living certain ways, doing certain ways. We got some habits going on. We got some things still going on in our thinking. And that's why the Bible says, Don't be conformed to the thinking and doing of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, which takes a lifetime, so that you may know what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So we see that salvation is instant, but growth is a process. And it takes a lifetime. Now, Lazarus is standing there. He's all bound up. He can't move here. He can't move his feet. He can't talk. He's bound up. And Jesus turned to that crowd and he gave a command. Loose him and let him go. Now, I wonder who moved first. I bet you it was Mary and Martha. After they got over the sheer shock of a brother who had been dead 4 days and nights, coming out of the grave, hopping, moving, waddling. Jesus said, loose him and let him go. I think Mary and Martha ran to him and started undoing those grave clothes. And probably a few others, maybe a disciple or two. But listen, it was those who loved him that let him go. It was those who loved him that helped him get free. How many of you have ever had God use somebody to step into your life and help you get free? Come on, everybody. Somebody stepped in and helped you get free. See, we wish that Jesus would just come down himself. But here's the deal. Jesus sends somebody with skin on them. He sends human beings, and he sends human beings with a word, and that word is to help us get free, and he moves them into our life. See, when God wants to bless you, he puts a person in your life. When Satan wants to destroy you, he puts a person in your life. But when God wants to bless you, he puts a person in your life. He comes walking up in the form of a person who loves you, who has something in their life you need, because you can't give what you don't have, but what somebody else has, they can give it to you. So Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but what I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. You see, Simon Peter, he didn't have money on him, but he had something way, 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 way better than money. He had faith that this man could walk, and this man who had been born crippled from birth, crippled, stood up and began to walk and leap and praise God, because what Peter had, he could give. So he brings people into our lives who have something from God that we need, and they help us get free. You have something in you right now somebody else needs. Somebody is waiting on the other side of your obedience to step out and touch them. Really, to me, this is maybe the best part of the whole Lazarus story, because it's a truth for the local church. See, Jesus resurrects people out of the grave of sin and saves them. But he calls the church to play a role in freeing them to walk in God's will. Yeah. Yeah. How many of you in here say, I'm saved? I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven when I die. So you've got something right there. You've got Jesus in you right now. And you may not have education. You may not have talent like my wife just stood up and sang. And it's like, wow, I'm not that talented. You know, I'm not that talented. But here's what I do have. God called me to minister the word of God. So I'm giving you what I have. And you have something that somebody you know needs. Because, see, we need to be one anothering one another. We need to be reaching out to one another. Because Jesus has called all of us to help others out of the grave clothes of their past. That's part of the ministry of the local church. Let me tell you what he did for me. I used to be bound to this, that, or the other, but he set me free. And if he set me free, he can set you free. He can do the same thing for you that he did for me. I may not have a doctorate in theology, but listen, I've got a testimony. And they overcame him by the word. Amen. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So I want to give you two ways today, just a real simple message. I want to give you two ways that God has given the church to set people free. Because, listen, I want you to tell your neighbor, I've been called to set people free. Tell somebody. Don't look up at me. Don't tell me. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, I've been called to set people free. See, some of you can't even make yourself say it. You go, oh, I just don't feel that at all. Isn't that your job? Let me tell you, it's not my job. You know what my job is? My job is to convince you that you're called. That's my job. He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, some pastors and teachers to convince the saints to do the work of the ministry. So you're called. There's destiny all over you. God's hand is on your life. The very fact that he touched you and saved you means that he's got his hand on you to help somebody else get free. Freed people, free people. Bound people, bind people. But freed people, free people. So let me give you two ways, and there's more, but I want to give you two. Two ways that we lose people from the grave clothes of their past. First one is forgiveness. We forgive them. We forgive them. Can you say with me forgiveness? I tell you, the longer I go on in Jesus, the more I realize how powerful forgiveness is and how crucial it is to moving on in God. That unforgiveness can literally block your path from going on in God. That you come to a screeching halt. It's like pulling the emergency brake in a car going down the highway at 60. If you decide to not forgive going down the highway of life, it's like you pull the emergency brake. It just short circuits everything. But something else, there's power in releasing others from guilt and shame by forgiving them. There's power. When I got saved, I got really saved. I got saved squared. I got saved to the 10th power. How many of you know what I'm talking about? When I got saved, I got saved. I wasn't going around going, gee, I think I got saved. I wonder if I got saved. No, when I got saved, I was all in. I got saved. All caps. It was just like, whoa, I can't believe Jesus is this real. Now, shortly after getting saved, he began to deal with me to go into ministry to preach and to teach. Now, this was a shock to me. I've told you this before, and I tell you before God, he knows I'm telling you the truth. God is my witness standing right here. I had terrible stage fright. I was terrified to get up in front of people and speak because I didn't have any confidence. I didn't think anybody would get anything out of it. I saw myself as so small, so little. I didn't have confidence. And isn't it just like God to lay his hand on you to do the very thing you're terrified of? Isn't that just like God? And I was terrified of it, but here's the deal. He began to move on me in a way that I could not ignore or deny or escape. And it was just this burning to preach and teach the word of God. My heart was on fire. I had Holy Ghost heartburn. Nothing any Rolaids could ever fix. And it didn't hurt. It was good heartburn. See, God puts burning on your heart. He makes his ministers a flame of fire. And so I had to deal with it. And God was dealing with me. When God's dealing with you, you might as well just give up now because he's going to win and you're the one that's going to cry uncle. I promise you, he'll win. But here's the deal. One day I'm sitting there and I'm saying, okay, I'm going to preach and I'm going to teach. God said, Jeff, I want you to go to your dad and I want you to ask your dad to forgive you. Stop me dead in my tracks because I had hurt my dad. I'd hurt my parents. I'd gone into bad rebellion, terrible rebellion. I shattered them. It was in response to some things that had also hurt me, but that's no excuse. Just because somebody hurt you doesn't give you the right to go hurt them. And so, but I did. And when I got saved, really saved, the Lord said, I want you to go to your dad. But he wasn't a believer. And I said, Lord, he's going to think I'm nuts. He already thinks I'm nuts. He thinks I went from nuttiness in drugs to nuttiness in religion. He still thinks I'm nutty. He said, but I want you to go to him, Jeff, and ask him to forgive you. I said, but he won't receive it. Do it. See, because I had grave clothes on me of shame and embarrassment and guilt for what I had done to my family. And see, I needed somebody to say, I forgive you. I needed somebody, even though they were lost, to say, I forgive you. So I went into the house and me and my dad sat down. He said, well, what do you need, Jeff? And I kind of mumbled and fumbled. And finally I said, Dad, I need you to forgive me. I need you to say you forgive me. He said, well, I don't need to forgive you. Forgive you for what? I said, all the times that I hurt you and broke your heart. And he said, oh, no, that's nothing. That's all water under the bridge. I said, no, Dad, I need you to say, I forgive you. And he said, well, okay, I'll forgive you. And right then, I felt grave clothes come off of me. grave clothes of shame and embarrassment, and something happened right there between me and my dad. See, relationships are so crucial. We don't know how crucial they are to our ability to go on in God. See, we're so focused on the vertical, getting right with God, but we also need to do it this way, horizontal as well. And so when I walked out of there, I was freer than when I walked in, because some of those grave clothes had come off. Forgiveness is powerful. And we, the church, Jesus said to the church, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose, whoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And so I think of the woman that was thrown in front of Jesus. Here's Jesus teaching a crowd one day. And this poor woman who was caught in the act of adultery was thrown right in front of him, in front of the whole crowd. They were shaming her, these men, shaming her, embarrassing her, condemning her, making her feel like dirt, like garbage, like refuse. They were trashing her. And they said, now Jesus, you know what Moses said. You know Moses said somebody that did this was to be stoned. What do you say, Lord? And they did that testing him, and Jesus knelt down. He starts writing in the dirt. Commentators everywhere for centuries have wondered what he wrote. Most think it was probably Moses' commandments, but we don't know. But finally, he stood up and he said, okay, all of you holding those rocks in your hand, he said, you that are without sin, you throw the first one. And all you could hear was thud, thud, thud as they dropped the rocks holding in their hands, and they all backed up and faded into the background because nobody had the right to do it. But listen, that's not what set her free. Jesus looked at her and said, where are your accusers? And she said, they're gone, Lord. And then Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Neither do I condemn you. And then look what he said. He said, go. Everybody say, go. See, anytime Jesus sets you free, it is so you can go. Anytime Jesus sets you free, it's so that you can go and do and be what he's called you to go and do and be. Anytime Jesus sets you free. Anytime Jesus sets you free, it's so you can go. Everybody say with me, go. Now the devil says, stay. Stay in bondage, stay in shackles, stay in chains, stay in regret, stay in unforgiveness. But Jesus sets us free so we can go. Go. Everybody say it again. Go. Go into what you could never have gone into before had I not set you free. But now that I have set you free, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You go. I thought of all the times that Jesus set people free with that word. He said to the 10 lepers who said, heal us. He said, go. Show yourself to the priest. And as they went, the leprosy disappeared. And they were free to go and do and be what God had called them to. When that terribly demon-possessed man of Gadara, the town of Gadara, so demon-possessed, he lived in the graveyard. He cut himself with stones. He slept among tombs. He had no friends. He had nobody that would get near him. He was isolated. He was alone. He was ostracized. He was feared. He had lost his family. He had lost his children, his wife, his job, his friends, his house, because of what the devil did to him. And that's what the devil does. He always subtracts. He always takes from you what you hold dearest. He's out to get what you love. He's out to get what God gave you in this man. He's sitting there in the graveyard, howling at night like an animal. And here comes Jesus.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Pastor Jeff. If you happen to miss part of this broadcast, or if you want to listen to this message again, you can do so by visiting our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. From there, you will have access to plenty of resources available to you. You can download and listen to our daily podcast messages to start your day off right and encourage you throughout the day. You can also get full access to current and previous Life Talk Radio broadcasts and catch up on any sermons that you have missed. To get a copy of today's message or this entire sermon series, Give us a call toll-free at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Our friendly staff will be standing by to assist you and even offer you a special discounted price so you can get your own copy of your favorite sermon series from Pastor Jeff. This is our way of thanking you for your unwavering support of Life Talk. Once again, the number is 877-884-3111 or visit our website at lifetalkradio.us for more information. You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Join us again next time for the continuation of the message, The Ministry of Loosing, in this series called Resurrection of Lazarus. Thank you for listening today. We look forward to being with you again here on Life Talk Radio. Until next time, God bless.